What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, Judge Judy, John Harbaugh, and the Sklar brothers.
That was definitely a great moment to tell our parents, hey, we're not going to go to law school. We're just going to go ahead and do a job we could have done out of high school. Thanks for paying for college.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Oh, we love that about you, don't we, Drewski?
Yeah, we do.
What's going on, man?
I was starting to feel like... Who sets up shop here during your show? Like, do people come and bring stuff, like set up like a little general store in front of their microphone?
You talking about where you are?
Well, I this is weird. I got my phone, my eye drops, I got a drink and some coffee. It's like we're so ridiculous. So where's my makeup kit?
Yeah.
And then you're doing your banking here in front of me. What's all this?
I ended up finding some old stuff, like checking accounts. Kind of a weird thing. I don't ever
somebody did
do
on
ACS that anymore.
I just
went and found the stuff where I'm buying a refrigerator for $105. Looking at Discover card for $15. I must have had a payment plan with the Discover card where I paid them $15 a month.
What's the year of that? 95.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my rent in 1995, half of my rent, which was $387.50.
Like the way you put in the pay to the order of the Discover card.
The Discover card. City of Los Angeles, Pacific Bell, $48. This is crazy. Ralph's Market, $16. MasterCard, $57 for the month of May 1995. Yeah. I don't even know. I don't even know what half the stuff is for. But, oh, here's a Home Depot. $41, man. Keeping it real. So this is weird. It's weird for me to look at this stuff because I was right on the cusp of becoming successful. This is a $500 check that I wrote to my landlord in March of 1995. So I met Jimmy in April of 1995. So it's so weird that I'm staring at this stuff, and it was probably hard for me to make my payment, my $15 Discover card payment or my Ralph's supermarket payment or whatever it was. But then months later, I was making a great living doing radio. And
radio was good at that point? I thought it wasn't until he got to TV, like a year or two later, right?
Well, there's certain things that I can see, which is on 3/3/95, I paid $500 to a guy named Don, that was my landlord, and then on 6/1/95, I was now paying to Consolidated Properties $387. So I moved from the house in La Crescenta to the apartment in Toluca Lake, and that's about the time I started to climb up the ladder.
Out of the hole.
Out of the hole. I met Jimmy in probably April, 2000. Let me correct that. I met Jimmy in 94, April 2004, and it took me about a year to, work for free, and then...
I see.
I had a tweet. I had a favorite tweet, Gary, and it was a fortune cookie, which I never even break open. I find it would be horrible cookies, whatever's waiting inside, give it to the next guy. I like when people turn into a science. Hold on, you got my cookie. That fortune was meant for me. it's a hard science, true. You know, as a man.
Of course.
A man of science. The cookie essentially said, do more... I'll paraphrase, but do more than what you're getting paid for, and eventually you'll get paid more than what you do.
This was something somebody else sent you, or is one?
Yeah, they sent me, and I said, "That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect because work for free for a year.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you'll get paid to put your name on crank anchors and you won't have to even be at the session. Right. You know, like do more than what you get paid for, and then you'll get paid more. And I got a, it's an interesting thing. I got a bunch of shitty tweets of people going, yeah, right. Make someone else famous, make someone else rich, and then have the corporate man, you know, jack you over at the end, or doing more just means you get more in your inbox. Like, it was this real sort of like good times 70s approach to the man and everything like that. And all I was making a simple statement, which is I've seen it many times in business, which is this guy becomes the guy who handles, or the girl who just handles everything. I always look at it as we tape this show. It is the great Jimmy Kimmel's birthday. And I always said Jimmy Kimmel had a job at K-Rock doing like sort of morning show, sort of co-producer, whatever, comedy bits and sports guy. But he always went well beyond that straight into many other categories and never got paid for the extras. You take something like just the Christmas album alone. Go ahead and read that, Drew.
The man who does more than he is paid for will soon be paid for more than he does. Good one.
Strong. And I just watched Jimmy, and he'd be producing the Christmas album every year and be recording all the different bands and editing and writing the songs. And I talked to him. I was like, what are we doing tomorrow? I was like, well, I got to be in at 4 a.m. Like, well, what are we doing? I got Cleto, now his band leader. I got Cleto in here. I got Cleto to, you know, lay down the organ part or the piano part or the saxophone part, and then we're going to do that because we don't have the edit bay after 6 a.m. Or I got to start my job at 6 a.m. So I'm coming in at 4. I'm going to meet Cleto. Cleto's going to lay down the bass line or whatever it is. Like, wasn't what's Cleto getting paid? What are you getting paid? The answer is nothing. No one's getting paid. And you're not getting paid to stay a half hour late, or not getting paid to stay a half hour late. You're showing up at like 4 in the morning.
Right.
And he never said a word. Like, he never went, hey, man, every loser I went to high school would have went, this is bullshit. This is bullshit, man. You don't come in here 4 in the morning. I need to get paid for this shit. I get paid, you know, $62,000 a year to do comedy bits and to do the sports, but I don't get paid for this.
There's a new millennial version of this.
Which, oh, my God.
You're going to love this, which is they're doing the work, but that guy that's got the job I'm working for, that guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what you know what I mean?
There's the boss man or the guy who's putting in the extra hours?
The kids are putting in the extra hours willingly, but they're very judgmental of everyone who's in a position of authority over them.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that one. That's a new twist.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. It's sort of a – I think it's a version of, hey, how fast are we moving up here?
I told you that in confidence, Drew.
get out of the way, old man.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, right about that same time, I'll always remember I didn't get paid for a year, and then I did get paid, and famously I got $50 a bit. And first thing out of my buddy Ray's mouth was, that's it? Man. They're like a huge radio station, and you're getting screwed. Like, he was telling me to march back in there and start asking for more, and I was like, wow. Now, at the time, Jimmy and Ray may have been about the same bracket, you know, just in life and income and everything else. And maybe Jimmy's driving a beat up RX-7. He was renting a house in like Canoga Park.
Well, Ray's kept up nicely. He's just a little behind you. Oh, no.
They may have put a little daylight between Ray's front bumper and Jimmy's rear bumper. Just a sliver, enough to get a playing card.
Yeah, otherwise.
But at the time, Jimmy was working for free, and Ray was explaining to me I should be asking for more money, and I was getting screwed at $50 a pop. Since then, their trajectories have been quite different. Interesting. Never get it, but the part
Ray's learned.
The part I don't get is...
Right? He's learned, right?
Oh, he's learned. There is an answer. There is an answer.
Yeah. Answer is no.
Here's it's an interesting thing, Drew. What do you think about this statement? We are living in a time where we are defying what is.
We're defying?
Defying what is. Okay. Literally, you know, we're going, hey, you know, some people grow up with a loving mother and father and it works out for them. And other people, they don't. And it works out okay, too. Okay. You know, like they're just sort of flying in the face of, yes. Hey, not forever. A lot of people showing up early and often and working hard. Now, that's one route. And other people copping an attitude and doing snorting crushed up Tylenol. That's another avenue. I've seen it work. Like we're just flying in the face of whatever is. Right. We're deciding there's alternate everythings for everything. Yes, and it's not good. It's not good for the mass of people who will benefit statistically through working hard and focusing and family and all the things that we know. The basically what I'm saying is the diet and exercise, what that is to the weight loss world, to what this is in the success world. You know, just don't have kids until you're ready. Get your education, you know, focus on the family. All the things we know work. We have to bring this all into question now. And it's good for the 1% who somehow defies that and finds success without it, but not to the 99%.
Well, it's the same group that says that facts don't matter, logic is no good, science is just another way of looking at everything. And get riddle me this. And everything is a social construct.
Right.
Every piece of who you are, it's because the man made you that way.
Right.
Except if you're gay, then it's biological.
Right.
It's biological. Right. No biology just makes no matter about your maleness, your femaleness, nothing. It means nothing. Strictly social, except you're gay. Except you're gay. That's all biological.
That's all biological.
So,
yeah,
so,
I don't.
It's very interesting, isn't it?
Well, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, well, interesting.
In a weird, frustrating way. All right. Let's see. So, there we go. Looking at checks. Checks.
Before you go to calls, before you go to checks, let me talk about Black Friday. Yes, SimpliSafe has a Black Friday sale. Holidays nutty, but be sure your home and family are protected throughout all of that. SimpliSafe Home Security is having a massive Black Friday sale, $200 off their special holiday security system. How do they do it? Effortless.
I don't know. They're the best.
Delivered right to your door, free shipping, set it up under an hour, boom, you're protected 24/7, completely around the clock, and there is no long-term commitment, and there are no hidden fees. So, for that $200 off, go to SimpliSafe, that's simply with an I, not a Y, simplisafe.com/Adam2, that is the word two, not the number two, and it's T-W-O. It is reflective of the number, but it is not the number. So, it's simplisafe.com/Adam2. Systems are flying off the shelves, and the offer is ending soon. It is the $200 off the special holiday security system. Massive Black Friday sale. Simply Safe. That's simplisafe.com/Adam2.
Wow, man. I must have really been doing good in June of 1995. I spent $144 at a trip. Oh, no, at a Chevron. The hell? I must have gotten a car fixed or something. All right. All right. Sorry. I walked that back. But you can take a look at the rubble of the past. It's kind of interesting. All right, you got a phone call up there. You
want to take line one? Will be quick. Let's do that.
Line one. Hey Zach, 36, Iowa. What's going on?
Yeah. Hey gang, love you guys. I've been watching and listening for a million years. I got a question for Drew. Should I run to the doctor? I got a bloody belly button I woke up with a few weeks back. It's since gone away, but. It was pooling up with blood every morning. I'd wake up and, you know, you do your morning scratch and I'd find blood in my belly button three mornings in a row.
Good times. Is it tender?
Yeah.
Is it tender?
It was. Yeah. For those 2 or 3 days, it was tender, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the tube in there can get infected. The abscesses can form in there and stuff. And it can be kind of significant. So you do need to go to a doctor, but I wouldn't run to a doctor. And you can just soap and water, hot compresses, and maybe some over-the-counter antibiotic ointment in the meantime.
Yeah, another thing I did, I did your favorite thing, Drew, is Googled it, and that's what they said, too.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention to Adam, I'm coming up on my 12-month anniversary of using no soap in the shower, no shampoo, soap, just hot, steamy water.
And now you got an abscess in your belly button.
Yeah.
It's good times, dude. It's called, you got a bezoar hanging out in your belly button.
I'm not doing the cold water. I'm not doing the cold water. I figured I'd enjoy my shower, but I'm doing the hot water, and I'm experiencing no difference when it comes to my cleanliness.
Except you're developing an abscess.
Smell.
You're getting an abscess in a somewhat occluded region of your body.
Yeah.
Other than that.
I would, Drew,
look
now
what
Drew's
you've done, Adam.
Drew's
look what you've
doing
done.
You're doing the cold showers, right?
Yeah, although I got to tell you, I had full pussification.
What happened?
I got a cold, and I was like, oh, I can't do the cold when I'm sick like this. And just full pussified sense. I'm like, I barely do it now. I've got to get back. I got to get. It requires a mindset. And I was doing the full walk into the cold shower with it cold.
I got an email from my buddy Kevin Hench, where it's like some army drill sergeant, some ranger or whatever, just went like, I do it. I do it just to keep my mental edge. Like,
I'm telling you, it's bothersome. It's different not doing it. And I don't know which is first, my pussification or not doing the, you know what I mean?
It's a cycle. It's this really simple.
Stop laughing at me, Chris.
Max Batta, let's do a quick survey.
All right.
Does anybody here do the cold water shower move?
Oh, that's quick a no. Survey. That's a no.
I think I can answer for everybody. I've tried it.
Yeah, none of them do it.
The whole time I'm just cursing your name in my brain.
Not on a regular basis.
Matt,
you have to
Funnelier's no. Kaylin. No. Anyone in the front room over there? Dylan's a big negatory.
All right. You know what?
I'll do it for a week straight. I'll let you know how it goes.
You got to do it for a significant period of time, though. It's not like you just splash cold water on your – you got to sit in there until it's like – until it doesn't feel cold anymore. Right?
No. Would you say that's right? Yeah, because your body just heats up.
No, it doesn't heat up. You just start – you're not bothered by it. You know what runs in my head is – I always forget the guy's name. Gary has to remind me. The guy that swims in the cold water.
Wim Hof.
Yeah. He always goes, I love the cold. I'm embraced by the cold. And that's the mantra I tell myself when I'm getting miserable in the cold. And it adjusts.
No. Yeah. Well, hold on. Obviously, it adjusts because it has to adjust because the initial feeling is almost of shock per se.
Yeah.
And – so you adjust. So if you lose a leg, you adjust. If you lose a loved one, you adjust. If you lose eyesight, you adjust. Like, we're made to do nothing but adjust. That's all we do is adjust. It would be the worst. If you didn't adjust, we'd all be crying over our girlfriends that we had when we were 19. It would be brutal. Like, we'd be in the fetal position, right? Oh. I mean, it's just brutal. No, what you do is you inflict this on you. That's the thing. If the deal was you're going to lie in bed and some guy's going to throw a bucket of cold water on you, you get nothing out of the cold water per se. It is you walk into the shower, you turn it to cold, you turn it on, and then you walk into it. You then inflict this upon yourself. And once you've done that numerous times, it's not successfully, just done it. Just do it. And this whole thing of like, well, you have to stay there long enough so that your body can – you don't have to stay there for any period of time. You have to turn it on and take a step into it. You must willfully step into it and bring it upon yourself. Once you've completed that facet where you've brought this upon yourself, you're pretty much done with the exploration. Now you can't turn it to hot immediately.
No,
and it can't be a millisecond. You have to just stand there until you've sort of – suffered sufficiently,
right?
And you brought it on yourself.
Part of my pussification lately has been too short in the cold.
Not that it's going to feel good, or your body's going to regulate, or eventually you're going to get used to it. No, you never want to get used to it. That's the whole point.
Right, here we go. I've got Hench's buddy here. Here it is. Cold showers. Habit of endurance. It imbued me with the perspective to help me embrace discomfort as a necessary journey to go through, rather than seeking to negotiate an escape plan from it.
Seeking to negotiate an escape plan from being uncomfortable.
You don't seek that. You have the discomfort as a necessary journey. Let's keep going. Perspective of journey. The mindset of the soldier possesses, he seeks the benefits of the hardship and does not try to escape it. Cold showers have forced me to just face my problems head on as I programmed adversity into my life on a daily basis through cold showers, and it'd be a tremendous building of my mental willpower. This is also something that Ryan Holiday talks about in his book about stoicism.
Called, oh, really?
The obstacle is the way, it's called. The obstacle is the way.
You must inflict this upon yourself. Now, life used to be full of this, so there's no reason to take a cold shower.
Right.
You didn't have to. All you have was a cold stream, and you got into it. Like, that was it. And you don't need to create these – you don't need to set up a tough mudder or an obstacle course for yourself if the well is 4 miles away and you got to walk with a gourd on your head. That's – That is life. Life is that. If you got to go kill a buffalo every other day, then that's life. But if you're living in a world with packaged everything and air conditioning blown everywhere, then you must do this.
Yeah.
Hard to convince.
And listen, I recognize the wisdom of that when you brought it up initially. I watched Sonny go through it in your pool last year. Lynette's reaction confirmed my belief that it needed to be something that a man went through. No, women can benefit from this too, and they probably deal with it much easier than we do, in fact. But I adopted it. It was useful, and I got sick, and I abandoned it, and I freaking miss it.
Get back on it.
You know what's interesting? Back to the cycle. I now know I will.
Yeah.
Right now. There's no doubt in my mind I will. But yesterday, not so much.
All right. Let's talk to Dave, 45, Connecticut. Dave?
How are you doing?
What's going on?
Trying to get the phone off the speaker here. Sorry, guys. So, hey, I was listening to your podcast the other day, Adam, and I could probably track more with Adam than I do with Drew.
What?
I work in construction, so
yeah,
I gotta tell a lot of dumb guys what to do.
Yeah,
but and basically what you were bringing up was how no one listens to your advice, right?
No. Well, let's test it out. I've been yelling about taking a cold shower for a year. Anyone here do the cold shower?
I've done it,
and no, I no. do it.
It's, No. It's got to be part.
All right.
It's got to be part of the regimen.
But listen,
so there's eight people or 10 people here. Don't do it. Okay.
It's not nobody listens. Just
nobody here. I'm saying. I don't know if there. I'm sure there are people outside of my purview.
I listen to
you. You don't count. You're successful. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, what I'd like to advise is let's come up with a best idea wins category.
All right.
Because like you and I, you were in construction, I am in construction, there's more than one way to do a job. And sometimes you could have an apprentice come up with an idea that works out great. And you just got to go with the best idea wins.
Let me tell you, Drew, I was just talking about this last week on my show, which is do not fall in love with your own ideas. I was so in love with this idea on some engine swap I was doing with a car and blah, blah, blah. I was more enamored with this idea than any idea I'd had in like the last 3 years.
That's dangerous.
And I got to the shop and I said to meek and mild-mannered Sean over at the other shop, here's my idea. And he went, oh, here's my idea. And his idea was better than mine. And I just immediately abandoned my idea and went with his idea.
That in spite of being in love with your idea. That's
yes,
good. Because it's hard to do that if you're in love with
it. Not for me. Not as soon as I hear another idea that's better,
you got to fall in love with that one.
I know. Look, it was spawned on me talking to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. No. What's your point?
My point is, nobody should have a designation between your idea and his idea or her idea. They don't have any good ideas, but if they did, okay. Hypothetically, you just have ideas, and the best idea wins. It's not like. See, you're not smart if you go, their idea is a 9.
Yeah.
My idea is an 8.5.
Yeah.
It's almost as good, but it's mine.
No.
So I'm going with mine. Mm-mm. So many people don't even know.
Well, I think this is this is another case for low self-esteem.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have no trouble with that one, you and I.
Speaking of my friend, you guys tell me where this one chimes in. But my friend I was talking to, Kevin, who brought you this article. We were just talking over football last week and talking about the industry and all that's going on and you have to hire this amount of women and this amount of this and this amount of that. And he said, what do you think? Do you think everyone would agree if they just said no names on submissions or just last names? You know, I mean, you would just put your last name on the submission and then everyone will just read the submission and then they'll either hire you or they won't hire you. As a comedy writer, we won't go, yeah, but... We're looking for a blah, blah, blah. We're just looking for the 10 funniest people we can find. They may all be women. They may all be men. They may all be black. They may all be Chinese. They may all not be anything. It'll just be whatever. In a weird way, I thought I would like to say to the powers that be, we don't use first names. They just put the last name on the thing. And I guess if, you know, the last name is Cho, you can probably do the math. But I just mean, for the most part, you just put the last name on there, and then you read the submissions the purest way you can do it, and just go, here are the best people for this job, and however it shakes out, it shakes out. But you can never be accused of anything, because this is just, we took the top 10 submissions.
You understand that that's not, no.
I don't understand that's not, no. I like living in that world where the best 10 submissions win. They're not going to go for it, but you have plausible deniability because you can
no,
just...
No one's accusing people of being racist or sexist. There's
yeah,
like
they kind of are.
There's like a...
It's implied.
There's implied that it might be systemic stuff, but even without
What better way to get rid of the systemic stuff by then just leaving off first name?
Systemic is not necessarily the racism of an individual reading a thing. It's sort of in the system.
But how do you enforce this in the system when you're looking at a last name that says Smith or Jones or Johnson? How would you possibly know? How would you, if Lena Dunham was just Dunham?
Yeah.
And Adam Carolla was just Carolla. How would you know in advance what the gender was?
You see, I think issues of fairness have prevailed in some of this thinking. And what's fair is sort of a primitive idea. It's not really a very sophisticated idea. Like, is it fair that your comedy group is 10 white men because that's who happened to be the funniest? It doesn't reflect what's going on in the community or in your viewers. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. It's not fair, but fairness.
Not fair
is,
to who?
But fairness is sort of a primitive
but what
idea.
Do you mean fair?
Well, that's.
Well, I mean, unfair is booting out one funny person, replacing him with someone who's less funny to make it fair. That's unfair. Also, you're working on some sort of premise that there needs to be this reflection of the culture everywhere, which is insane. I've always said, you know, when. And some asshole pussy politician that says, like, the police department or the fire department should reflect that, you know, the fire department should just be the best fireman, the 12 best firemen that live closest to your house.
But
it's fine. Unless we can prove that you've been discriminating against somebody. Yes.
But the argument would be, though, that we're trying to – that society, to create a just and equitable society, we would like it to reflect the community. It's
Why?
Not that it's the best fire department.
Just?
Not the best fire department.
Why isn't it just? Well, most pharmacists are of a certain nationality. Should we take other nationalities and shove them into pharmacy? Or can we let some people, hey, white guys, you go into be whitey, you go be firemen, and weird Czech Republic women, you go be pharmacists. Is that fine, or we don't want that?
In the Corolla universe, it's fine.
Not the Corolla universe. In the universe, it's fine, because that's the way it plays out.
But you're these are all... None of these ideas are wrong, but
you're
in a world that you want things to be a meritocracy.
Strictly speaking, I'm crazy that way.
Yeah,
because I want the funniest sitcoms and the best firemen.
I would argue because you want the best world for everybody, and the best world would be where people are best people for the best for the jobs get the jobs, and that's that. They compete into those positions, right?
Thus, leaving the name off the submission.
Yeah, so you're worried about overt racism as opposed to fairness and justice and things that people are really concerned with today, and they want world.
What
that's
is fairness and justice? You leave the person's first name off, so we don't know what the gender of the person is. And then the most racist person in the world could try to ascertain if Johnson was a man or a woman, but they couldn't, so they just have to do it based on the merit of the jokes in the submission. You don't want to live in that fantasy land? That insane fantasy land with unicorns and gnomes and princesses and fairies? You want to live in that world? I like to live in that world. I like my kids to live in that world. I don't care, but same with the fire department,
but
with anything.
White privilege, so see,
I do
all,
have white
so,
privilege.
So for you, it works.
You saw the checks. Given the Discover card, $15.
Max Pat has white privilege.
All white
Ask
privilege.
Him.
No, I mean, there are people that think, possibly, like they're people that could think, all right, screw it.
I
like that world. Yeah. And I think if you truly want to live in a colorblind or a genderblind
that's
or whatever.
People
if you
want anymore.
Well, that's what they're saying.
No.
What do you mean, no? I hear it every 10 minutes from jack-offs. We don't live in a colorblind, or we don't judge, we don't do anything. Good. Then every submission for everything just has a no first name. It just has a last name on there. And then you can just decide. And I don't know if it's going to be all women's staff or all men's staff. I don't know. Or it's going to be a mix. It'll just be whatever that person unbiasedly decided. Thank you. Hero. True car, man. Hashtag hero. True Car. Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not available. And we need True Car. Real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer. Over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. True Car users save an average of $3,000 or over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy new or you want to go use, you always go with True Car. Again, go on the computer, type it in, go to True Car, figure out the car you want, lock it in, get your certificate, take it to the certified dealer, and pick up your new car. Don't pay any more than you have to. Have a more confident buying experience with True Car. All right, Pasadena Ice House tomorrow. Mark Garagus up on stage and Brad Williams. Oh, it's an all-star lineup, man. I think Drew's going to be out of town. Otherwise, he'd be up there, too. You can check out the Corolla Cruise drinks event. That's Churchill's Pub, Miami, 8 o'clock. The old gang's going to be there. Maxie's going to be playing there. Loxie's going to be playing there. Dawson's going to be playing there. What else you got, Drewski?
That's the 29th.
What did I say, the 20?
I don't think you said a date. You just said you check out.
Go to doctor.com. Check out all the pods that we got there. We got all the good stuff.
All right. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.